Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 10th chapter, in your Scofield Bible, page 1010. Beginning with the 36th verse, we'll read through verse 42. Make that the 37th verse, verse 37 through verse 42. The text verse is the 39th verse. Let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto you, little ones, a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Let's pray. Thanks, Lord, for this service. Thank you for that which you have in mind. Whatever it is, we know that you know what's best to be accomplished. We know that you've given a message already to the heart of our preacher. We wait in expectancy for that message. Give us thy Spirit's power in order to hear and to do thy word. And give our preacher thy power to deliver that message. In Jesus' name, amen.
And you know that my heart is always tendered in a special way on Lord's Supper night. And I want to speak to you for a while. I'm not going to preach a typical Sunday night sermon. I just want to talk to you for a while about what I think is one of the great secrets to the Christian life. I want to speak tonight on the subject, I don't want to be a good Christian. I don't want to be a good Christian. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you will transfer from my heart to the hearts of my people, from my mind to the minds of my people, and from my soul to the souls of these dear people, what I feel in my heart, my mind, and my soul. Bless our service tonight in a wonderful way. In Jesus' name, amen. I have no desire to be a good Christian. I probably would be honest if I had to be honest. I'd probably have to say I have been so busy in my life, I'm probably not a good anything. There's no way for you to understand how busy my life is. There's not a way in the world that you can comprehend. The folks have a seat now right quickly. We just don't walk around in the service. Just find a seat right quickly there. Ushers, if you'll help me back there now and not let the folks walk the aisles while I'm preaching. There's no way for you to comprehend the magnitude of this ministry here. And I, as I said this morning in my sermon, I give it day and night. And because I do, and I have for all these years, I often feel I've been a failure at most everything I've tried to be. Maybe that's why I'm saying I don't want to be a good Christian. I don't want to be a good pastor. I just want you to have what you need. It doesn't matter whether I'm a good pastor or not. That's not my desire. Jesus said if you seek your life, you'll lose it. If you lose it for His sake, you'll find it. You wrap your life in trying to be a good husband or a good wife, and you won't be a good husband or a good wife. You're thinking about yourself. I don't want to be a good pastor. That's not my goal in life. My goal in life is for you to have what you need. I am constantly watching for your needs, and I'm constantly looking for a way to fill them. My life is one great search, a constant search. I'm trying to search to see what you need. Now, you understand there are thousands of people. This is the largest crowd we've had in the summertime at night, beyond any shadow of a doubt, and we've had great crowds all summer. But look at this great sea of faces tonight. And everybody here has a problem. Everybody here has some reason probably that you need to or would like to talk to your pastor. There's no way I can do that. I spend my life just trying to keep the doors open and the bills paid and do what I can. But there's no way. Because of that, I'm constantly searching for your needs so I can fill your needs in the pulpit. I could preach on heaven one Sunday and the second coming the next Sunday, the rapture the next Sunday, and the love of God the next Sunday, and I could preach on all those exciting things, and I believe I could be a better preacher than I am. But if I were a better preacher than I am, I could not satisfy your needs. Because I'm not trying to preach good sermons. I'm trying to find out what you need. And after I find out what you need, I'm trying to find out what will give you what you need. My life is one constant search. I want you older people that come here. I'm not concerned about being a good pastor to you. I just want to be what you need. I know how you feel. I know how it feels to be on the home stretch of life. I know how that feels. I know how it feels to wonder about when will Alzheimer's disease come, or when will you have a stroke, or how long can you keep on going. I know how that feels. And I want to feel the way you older people feel. I want to be what you need me to be. And I want you to come to church, and I want God's Holy Spirit to let me be what you need. I want to be what the children of this church need. A while ago when I was talking about dumb, boy, they brightened up. And I want the choir right now to look at the children. Just spot the children around here. They're listening to what I'm saying. Just look at them. Their eyes are focused on me. And that's the way it always is. Now, the adults, no. Deacons, never. But the children, their eyes are focused on me. I want to be what they need. I want to be the children's pastor. But I'm not necessarily concerned about being a good pastor. That's one reason why that this Friday afternoon, after Bible school is over, I'll go to my office and I'll weep. That's the truth. I'll weep. And the reason I'll weep is because the kids have had me for a whole week. And for a whole week, I've gotten to be to them what I wish I could be all the time. And Nick, I told somebody a while ago, I was walking down the alley. Teenagers were saying, "Hello, Brother Hiles. Hello, preacher." I said, the fellows walking down the alley a while ago, I said, "This is the Sunday in the year when the young people are friendly to me in the other time of the year." You know why? Because I was theirs this week. Now next Sunday, the young folks won't know who I am. But the children will be more friendly to me because they will have had me for a week. And I hunger in my soul. I don't want to be a good pastor. I want to be what you need, that's all. I want to be what you older people and you children. I want to be what you bus people need. I know how you feel. I've been there. I have not been on church bus because church buses hadn't been thought about when I was a boy. But I've lived in poverty. And I've lived in the ghetto. And I know what it's all about. And I want to be what the bus people need. I want to be what you young couples need. Now, I'm not concerned about whether I'm a good pastor or not. I want to forget that. I don't want to be. I'm not concerned what I am. I want to be concerned what you are. I want to satisfy and fill the needs of you young couples and you college couples. I got a letter this week. Yes, this morning I think it was. A little lady wrote me and she said, "My husband surrendered to preach and I rebelled against it. And you're preaching down in near Atlanta, Georgia, Stone Mountain, Georgia," she said. And she said, "I was rebellious. My husband had surrendered to preach, and I was rebellious. But we drove a long ways to hear you preach that night, and you got up, and right before you started to preach, you said, 'I'm changing my sermon.' And you said something about rebellious wives that wouldn't go with their husbands while they're preaching." And she said, "Good night. There I was. My life was changed. And that's what I want to be. I want to be what you wives that are here and you know, widows for 4 years, or five or six. I want to be what you need. I'm not concerned whether you think I'm a good pastor. That's not the issue. The issue is I simply want to be what you need. I want to be what you teenagers need. I want to be what you dorm students need at the college. I want to be what at the weddings. I want to be what you need. I'm not concerned whether I'm a good pastor because I'm supposed to lose myself. And that's one of your problems. You want to be a model wife. Model wives aren't good wives. Don't be a model wife. Just be what your husband needs.
Let God decide what kind of wife you are. You want to be a model mother. Fool on being a model mother. Just be the kind of mother that your children need you to be. And let God decide. Let God define you. You see, you want to be something. Forget yourself. If you seek your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for His sake, you'll find it. Just forget you exist. I've said this so often. The great secret to anything in life is total self-unawareness. You want to be a great preacher? Forget. Quit trying to be a great preacher. Forget you live. Forget you exist. Get a hold of the truth. And squeeze that truth. And do all you can to get that truth transferred from your heart to the heart of the people. Quit trying to be a model preacher. You try to be what your people need. I don't want to be a good soul winner. I just want to get everybody out of hell I can. My desire, I want to be a great soul winner. I never think about that. I heard a sermon on hell back yonder when I was a young man. Evangelist Louis Wunneberger preached on hell one night. And brother, I'll tell you what, he hung me over hell. And I said, I don't want anybody to go there. I don't want my loved ones to go there. I don't want my friends to go there. I don't want anybody to go there. And I decided that night that I was going to spend my life trying to get folks out of hell. I decided that night, fool you on this deeper life stuff. Fool you on this Bible exegesis stuff. I just want to get folks out of hell. And I'm not concerned whether I'm a good soul winner or not. You forget whether you can become a good soul winner, and you just do all you can to keep folks out of hell, and there's a judgment seat that lets you know how well you did. I saw a man die and go to hell one day. I stood beside his bed as he cried, I'm burning, I'm burning, I'm in hell, and I'm burning. And I said, trust the Savior. He said, it's too late. I'm burning, I'm burning, I'm burning. And I walked away from that room and I said to myself, there's got to be a hell. The Bible says it, but there's got to be a hell because I saw a man go to hell. And I wouldn't give you a dime tonight for all these little churches around Chicago where mama and papa, a little clan of people, are gathering around the Word. I wouldn't give you a dime tonight for all the little huddles in home Bible studies where a bunch of little sanctimonious people are gathering around in a home Bible study. You give me an old-fashioned, hell-raising, barnstorming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling church that's concerned about the souls of men and trying to get folks out of hell. I don't care whether I'm a good soul winner or not. I just want to get people out of hell. I don't want to be a good friend. I don't want to be a good friend. I don't care whether anybody thinks about me as being a good friend or not. I just want to be what my friends need. That's all. That's all. I decided over 40 years ago in a little pine thicket in East Texas between 1 o'clock and 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I made some decisions. And the one decision I made among four others was this. I will see to it that my friends have a friend. Now, I'm not concerned about being a friend. I'm concerned that my friends have a friend. And I don't want to be a good friend. I don't want to be a good friend. I don't want to be a good Christian. I just want to please God. I don't want to be a good pastor. I just want to be what my people need. I don't want to be a good soul winner. I just want to keep folks out of hell. I don't want to be a good friend. I just want my friends to say there's one guy that's going to stick with me. That's all I want. That's all I want. Oh, a lot of these picture-perfect friends, they'll leave you when the picture's not perfect. Boy, I tell you, I want you to know I'm your friend. Throw you on that kind of stuff. I want you to know you've got a friend. I'm not concerned. I want to forget myself. Forget whether I'm a good friend or not. I just want everybody who I love to know there's one guy that's going to be beside him when everybody else turns his back. Brother Jim Vineyard said this. I was told he said it. Brother Vineyard was here 4 years with us. He's now pastor in Oklahoma City. Been gone for many years now. But somebody said he said this. He said, when I get my back to the wall and I'm down to where I've got one friend, he said, I wouldn't be surprised to turn and see Brother Hiles. And that's what I want. I don't care if I'm a good friend. I want Jim Vineyard to have a friend. I don't care if I'm a good friend. I want John Colston to have a friend. I don't care if I'm a good friend. I want Ray Bordway to have a friend. And the people that want to be good friends don't stick with you. The people that want you to have a friend, they stick with you. I don't want to be a good Christian. I just want to please God. I don't want to be a good pastor. I just want you to have what you need. I don't want to be a good soul winner. I just want to keep people out of hell. I don't want to be a good friend. I just want my friends to have a friend. I don't want to be a good husband or a good father. I just want my wife and my children to have somebody that cares for them and tries to give them what they need. I didn't say what they want. Sometimes what they need is not what they want. Sometimes what you need is not what you want. When I get up here and heal the dead, cast out the sick, and raise the devils for a while on a Sunday night, you leave and say, boy, the preacher was sure hot tonight. Or as one little boy said, ain't God mad tonight? And that's not what you think you need. I'm not concerned whether you think I'm giving you what you want or not. I want to give you what you need. Now, my life has been a strange life. I've been gone much of the time. There are many things that I would love to have enjoyed. I have not gotten to enjoy. There are many things that I would love to have been to my wife and children. I've not been able to be. I've tried to be sensitive to God's will. But God knows this is true. I wanted my family to be happy, fruitful, contented, and cared for. I'd love to be a better grandfather. I'd love to take my grandchildren to the zoo. Of course, Cindy doesn't have to because they've got their dad to look at. But the things I'd love to do, and many a night, I sit in my motel room, and I mean it, I weep because there's some things I'd enjoy doing. I don't want to be a good brother, but I want my sister cared for. And I want my sister to feel like she's got a brother that's going to take care of her. I don't want to be a good teacher. I just want you to know great truths like this one. And by the way, this is a fabulous truth. I mean, the purpose in life is not for me to be a great anything. I'm not painting a picture so you can look at me and say, here's a portrait of a good Christian. That's not the job. My job is to do what my Savior wants me to do. It's not my job to say, look at me, I'm a good husband. That's not my job. My job is to say, I want my wife to reach her full potential and have what she needs. It's not my job to say, look at a good dad. I hate to say this, but I'm not primarily concerned about my children thinking they've had a good dad. I'm concerned that I give my life to give them what I think they need and what I think I ought to be to them. I'd like to be more. I'd like to do more. But I'm not interested in painting a picture saying, I am a good brother. I want my sister to have what she needs. And I want my wife and my children and my people and my friends have what they need. Fully on this stuff of saying, I want to be, I don't want to be anything. I just want God to be pleased in my life. That's all. I don't want to be a good teacher. I know what they say about me. Howells is shallow. I know what they say. That's because they're not deep enough to recognize depth. One of my favorite stories was out in Wyoming. It was Casper, Wyoming. I was preaching at a state convention for the Wyoming, Montana Conservative Baptist years ago. I preached 9 times one day. There's a little preacher back over here, about halfway back on this side, kept heckling me all day long. While I was preaching, he'd say, when do you feed the sheep? When do you teach the Bible? I bet your folks don't know, and heckle me all day long. Well, I was preaching my 7th sermon of the day about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I had enough. You say, you shouldn't get mad. Nothing in the Bible says you shouldn't get mad. Well, you say, God doesn't get mad. Oh, yes, it does. The Bible doesn't say God is never angry. It said He's slow to anger. Check that in the Greek. You'll find after 7 sermons, God gets mad. Brother, if you can handle that for 7 sermons, you're slow to anger. I got fed up. And finally, he stood up back there and said, when do you feed the sheep? I left the pulpit. I walked back where he was. It was a state convention, annual meeting of the Montana Wyoming Conservative Baptists. And I said, Reverend Buster, I said, you've done nothing all day but heckle me. And you've done nothing all day but call me shallow. You've done nothing all day but say my people are shallow. And I said, okay, I'm challenging you in the presence of the Baptist delegates of Wyoming and Montana. Boy, you talk about people listening. I got their attention then. I was preaching from right back there. I said, I challenge you to let's appoint a committee. You appoint a committee of pastors here in this room. And let them draw up a Bible test. And I said, your deacons will take it. My deacons will take it. Your Sunday school teachers take it. My Sunday school teachers take it. Your people take it. My people take it. Your staff takes it. My staff takes it. You take it and I take it. And then the same fellows who grade the papers will come back here next year at this time and we'll read the results of the test to see whether your deacons know more Bible than mine or your people know more Bible than mine or you more know more Bible than I do. And I said, Brother Buster, put up or shut up. It's time for you to prove you got your chance to prove what you've been saying all day long. Now put up or shut up. I challenge you to take the test. We'll all take it and announce next year the results of the test. We'll find out once and for all where old-fashioned hell, fire, and brimstone preaching builds greater Christians or a little exegesis and deeper life stuff. I said, put up or shut up. He slumped down in his chair and didn't stand up or say one word the rest of the day. I'm not trying to be a big Bible teacher. I want you to have great truths that'll transform your life. That's what I want. I don't care if anybody ever says I'm a good teacher or not. I don't care if anybody ever says I'm a good preacher or not. I don't care if anybody ever thinks of me, of a good soul. I never think about it. I don't know if I'm a good preacher or not. I don't know if I'm a good teacher or not. I don't know if I'm a good husband or not. I don't know if I'm a good father or not. I don't know if I'm a good friend or not. I don't know if I'm a good soul winner or not. I don't know if I'm a good pastor or not. I know I'm good looking. I don't know. I had no idea. All I want to do is be what God wants me to be. I don't want to be a good prayer. You say, hold it, Brother Hiles. Don't you pray? I would be surprised if there's a preacher alive who spends more time with God than I do. I'd be surprised. But I don't know if I'm a good prayer or not. I don't want to be a good prayer. I just want to get things from God for the people I love. I'm not concerned about being a good prayer. I am not drawing a picture of a model Christian. I'm not drawing a picture of a model preacher or a model prayer or a model father or a model husband or a model teacher or a model T. That was funny, wasn't it? I'm just wanting to be what the people that I love need. That's all. I want God to know I need Him. He said, Brother Hiles, I bet you're a mighty man of prayer. I don't know. I know I spend a lot of time at it. But I don't know. Have no idea. Don't care. I just want the Creator of my universe and the Savior of my soul and the God of my salvation to have what He needs and what He created me to give. The Bible says that in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says that I was created for his own glory. I was created for His glory, for His pleasure. The Bible says, for God's pleasure was I created. Now then, I want God to have fun with me, have pleasure with me. I wasn't created. God didn't make me so I could have fun. God made me so He could have fun. And God did not make you so you could have pleasure. God made you so He could have pleasure. And I'm not concerned about whether or not I'm a good prayer. I am vitally concerned that my God has pleasure in my life and enjoys my fellowship and has what He needs through me. I don't want to be a good son. Never did. Never thought about being a good son. You people that are always wanting to be a good something, that's selfish. I just wanted my mother to have a great life. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying I've been successful in many areas, but in that area, my mother had a great life. I like to see my sister out of the college and feel like I had some part in salvaging her life. I like to see Mrs. Howells' name on a book that she's written. She's writing her second book now. And feel like that maybe some way my preaching and my life had a little part in that. I like to see my daughter sitting out there as a preacher's wife and feel like maybe somehow the things that I did not get to give her, the things that my schedule would not permit me to give her, I'd like to think that things more important than that I've been able to give her. I never wanted to be a good son. I just wanted a woman that gave life to me, gave birth to me. I just wanted to have a rich life. And I honestly believe that there's not a woman in this generation that had a richer life than Costell Mattie Hiles. And I like to think that maybe I had a little part in that. I never wanted to be a good son. I just wanted Mama to have a great life. I don't want to be a good praiser. I don't know whether there's a word or not. Is there a word called praiser? There is now. I don't want to be a good praiser. I've invented more words than Webster has, I'll guarantee you for sure. Like hobnob and cattywampus. But anyway, all that Greek stuff. I'm a college chancellor. I know Greek. But I don't want to be a good praiser. I just want my God to have a heap of praise, that's all. I'm not concerned about saying, oh, I tell you what, I'm a great praiser. No, sir. I just want the God who made me for the praise of His own glory to have the praise that He deserves. Ladies and gentlemen, we've missed the whole Christian life. We've absolutely missed the whole Christian life. That's one reason why preachers are nervous when they preach. You know why? You wonder how you're doing. I can tell you how you're doing. Lousy. If you wonder how you're doing. Till you lose yourself, you won't be a success. Till you forget whether you're a good preacher or not. Oh, you model wives, and you model mothers, and you model preachers, and you model parents, and you model husbands. Why don't you just forget that you live and realize that the whole world that needs somebody to care. I just want God to feel loved. May I share something for a minute? As I have tried to grow in grace so I could be what I needed to be to those I love, and as you love more deeply, there are fewer people that can reciprocate the type of love that you can give. There are few of you who know what I'm talking about. And sometimes if I don't watch it, I want somebody to love me like I love. But that's dangerous. Because if I want somebody to love me like I love, then I'm being selfish. I want to be able to love more than they love so I can give them more love than I get. You don't realize it, but that's good. I want them to receive the love. But if I don't watch out, I'll jump over into a certain area where I'll want to be loved like I... like. And I think sometimes that God in heaven looks down and says, in a moment, nobody can love me like I love them. And that's true. But I want to sow love, and I want to have the kind of love so when I look up to God and I love God, I can give Him as near as possible the kind of love that He gives to me. I feel sorry for God. I really do. His love is without blemish. His love is without stain. His love is without selfishness. And I want God to have what sometimes I want. Please, please listen to me. I've never understood how a man could pastor a family for 10 years. Or 15, or 20 years. And them not love him enough to want to stay if they think he makes a mistake or two. They've understood that. I mean, they find out Brother Howells has feet of clay. Well, I'll take my shoes off right now and show you. I've got feet of clay. I'm not talking about overlooking some terrible sin, though all sin is terrible. I'm talking about if you don't agree with something, that I don't understand that. There's no way you're going to get me to leave you. No way, unless you vote me out. I'll go across the street and start a church if you do that. I'm simply saying there's no way. And I can't understand that. And the reason I can't understand it is because I love people more than most people love me back. And the great heart of God, nobody can love Him like He loves them. And I'm not concerned whether I'm a good praiser. I just want God to get the praise out of me, all I can give Him. I want God to get glory and honor and power and majesty and praise and victory for my life so God can be pleased. I want God to look down and say, I feel mighty good about old Jack.
He sure does love me. I don't want to be a good giver. I just want those I love to have what they need. And yes, what they want. People think I'm rich because I give so much away. That's not the way you get rich, folks. That's the way you get poor. Somebody's all wacky here. But you sit with the house. Now, I hate to even say this because I'll have 50 people outside my door tonight want me to pay you a house payment tomorrow. But I'm saying that I give. And I give. You say, why? You want to be a great philanthropist? I never have been able to play a musical instrument. I'm not concerned about being a great philanthropist. Whatever I said a while ago. I'm not concerned. I just want my people to have what they want. And if you will let me be vain for a minute, you ask these men that know me best. To me, a little money in your pocket is no good unless it's used for the people that you love. You say, you want to be known as a great giver? I don't give a flip whether I am or not. I just want, if John Colston has a need, I just want to fill it. That's all. I don't care if I'm a good giver or not. I wish I could transfer what I'm saying to your heart tonight. He that seeketh his life shall lose it. He that wants to be a good husband will never be a good husband. She that wants to be a good wife will never be a good wife. He that wants to be a good preacher will never be a good preacher. He that wants to be a good teacher will never be a good teacher. He that or she that wants to be a good son or daughter will never be a good son or daughter. You know one of your problems? You're concerned about what everybody else is to you instead of what you are to them. I am so sick of this generation.
Well, my mom and dad didn't give me all I need.
Let me tell you something, sweetheart. If your mama carried you near her breast, and if she went to the jaws of death to give you life, and if she fed you when you couldn't feed yourself and got up in the night and took your temperature and stood beside your bed or sat beside your bed when she was sleepy to keep you alive and cooked you three meals a day and cleaned your house and washed your clothes and ironed your clothes, let me tell you, you came out smelling pretty good.
Well, my mother, she never washed water.
Oh, shut up, you ungrateful pig.
Well, my daddy never took me to a Cub game.
That's the best thing your dad ever did for you. I wish you could live back in the days before we had any psychologists. I shouldn't throw the Bible. I wish you could live in the days before we had any psychologists to tell you that you should blame your mom and dad because you're a failure in life. My Bible said every man shall give an account of himself to God. And if your dad put the food on your table and bought the clothes on your back and paid the payment for the house where you live, and I want something to throw. Scared you. At least now I went to you, I thought you were the other microphone. I know, you thought I was at the Lord's Supper table, didn't you? Forget what anybody's been to you. You think what you are to them.
swamped. I'm busier than any man ought to be. Don't mind it. Don't feel sorry for me. But I know I can't beat everybody what I want to be. I look at this great crowd and realize many of you need help right now. I see everybody I can. I try to keep this thing afloat. But when you walk by my casket and you look at my face, and I hope God will let me pastor here, I hope I can die while I'm preaching. Not this sermon. I want to go to heaven, just I won't take the next bus, that's all. But I hope God let me die standing behind this pulpit while I'm preaching. I know somebody out here last night would like to help me do it too, wouldn't you? When you walk by, I doubt if anybody will say he was a great preacher. And that doesn't bother me. I never tried to be one. I doubt if many folks will say he was a great pastor. And that won't bother me. I've never tried to be one. I doubt if Mrs. Hiles can say he's a great husband. Or Cindy, or David, or Linda, or Becky will be able to say he was a great daddy. I thought the other day, I don't guess I've had a conversation with my sister in almost a year. I doubt if she'll be able to say he was a great brother. Not because I don't want to. It's because it takes day and night to keep this thing going. I doubt if anybody walked by and say he was a great Bible teacher. But you know what I'd like? I'd like for you to look at me and say, he loved me. He loved me. I just want to be what everybody needs me to be and what everybody needs. I don't know if that's being a good Christian or not. Never thought about it. We didn't call ourselves Christians in the first place. They called them at Antioch Christians because those people did a little bit like Jesus. I don't know whether I'm a good Christian or not. And my goal is not to be one. My goal is to be able to stand up here week after week and conduct your weddings and your funerals and counsel with you when you have need and pray for you when you're sick and try to find what you need from the pulpit and try to keep the doors open in your school. I've got to find $1,600, Bob Beauclair, I'll tell you. I got to find $1,600 between now and tomorrow night to meet payroll for the high school, grade school. We've never missed. I just want to be able to keep the school open so your kids won't have to go to the heathen schools. I want to keep the college open so your young people will have a good Christian college to go to that has some standards. That's all I'm concerned about. Let me recommend tonight something to you, and I'll close. Let me recommend to you wives that you forget whether you're the model wife or not. And you just see to it that guy you got has what he needs. Let me suggest to you husbands that you forget whether or not you're a good husband. And you just try to be to that woman what you think she needs. Let me suggest that you quit trying to be the model mother or the model father. And let me suggest that you just watch and try to take care of the needs and, yes, some of the wants of those that call you mom and dad. Let me suggest to you young preacher boys that when you go out to pastor, that your goal be not to be a great preacher. Your goal not to be a great pastor. But you go out there to do the best you can to give the people that you call, that call you preacher, to give them the richest, fullest Christian life they can possibly have. I think that's what the Savior meant when he said,
He that seeketh his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I wish somebody would catch it tonight. I wish somebody would catch it. I wish some little new wife. Every time anybody's watching you walk down the street, you grab your husband's hand. Because you want everybody to think you're the perfect couple. I wish you'd maybe not hold his hand so much when they're around, but when they leave, grab it. He can do more about it then. That's pretty good, wasn't it? That's preaching, ain't it, fellas? Finally woke some of you guys up for the first time tonight. Quit posing. They taught me in seminary and homiletics class how to preach. They said there are three gestures: up, middle, and down. We had to stand up and point number one, point number two, point number three. You've heard my sermons for 31 years. You know there ain't no point to any of my sermons. I went back. I tried that. Point number one. I couldn't get it to synchronize. Point number one. You don't teach preaching. You don't teach preaching. You teach loving. Fellow walking down the street, the house is on fire over here. He doesn't walk in and say, number one, your house burneth. Number two, there is yonder door. You don't do that. You forget you live. And you run up down a hall, hey, fire, fire, fire! And you don't stop and say, I am a good fire caller. You don't. And if somebody asks you, are you a good fire caller? You wouldn't know. Forget it. When the fire's put out and everybody's safely outside, then let them decide whether you're a good fire caller or not. Forget yourself.